everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. This is episode 49. That's right. We're one away from the big time, folks. One away from 50 of the show that we do about video game news, which like a month ago was the Dual Screens Games Cast, which was before that was Nintendo, whatever. We're not going to get into there. I'm Steven Fontana. With me, as always, are my two cohorts, the two other duelers of the screens. There's Andy Asimakis and there's Taylor Allen. How are you guys doing?
Can we wait for the next big milestone and then we'll change the name again and we'll reset the number to one?
No. I like to change it just before the milestone.
Just before. Yeah, exactly.
Like three or four episodes before the
right.
Next one.
Like it's just our 1,000th show. Now we're going to change it at the 999 mark, and that's what we're going to do it from now on.
That's why on our rolling list I have like the show names. I think we just need to get a new feed, to be honest with you, and put the show and separate the shows and just
I think that's
put the old episodes
we'll
on
in the
one
new year.
Thing. Yeah, I don't know. Do you guys? I mean, well, it's whatever. Money's money. Anyway, Taylor, how are you?
Money is money.
I'm good ish. Like I was talking to you guys about in the pre-show, back at work for the first time in like a month. So
we don't like that. He's slapping the shit out of the Batman ornament right now. My cat is slapping ornaments off of the tree, and he's just going like this. Get away from the tree! Jesus Christmas. Anyway, folks, this is the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast, the internet's number one gaming news show podcast starring people you have never heard of, probably. The Crossplay posts each and every week on Tuesday nights, Wednesday mornings, on your favorite podcast service of choice. And of course, the video on demand goes up 24 hours after the live show, which is recorded on twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams every Tuesday night. So you could go and check that out. If you do listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving us a review. I actually haven't checked in quite a while, so I think I want to open that up and see if we got any new reviews. But if you are watching on the video on demand on YouTube, please consider giving us a subscription and a thumbs up and all of that fun stuff. That would be greatly appreciated. There are no new reviews. I checked just now.
you did that to yourself. Indeed. I was like, why? You should have checked beforehand.
I like to check. You know, I haven't checked it in weeks. So I was like, you know what? Let me just check it. All right. So before we get into this show, Andy, why don't you tell us about this most recent show, which, ladies and gentlemen,
oh my God.
Hold on.
Oh my God.
Admittedly, Andy, I had not had a chance to listen to the episode in full. I've listened to
Well, you're the only one that has listened to it, apparently.
I know. So if you count YouTube views, then it still has not been our most listened to show. But just on downloads alone on our server, the audio server across all audio platforms, it is our number one show, not by two times, not by three times, not by four times, not by five, six, seven, eight, or nine times. It is upwards of 11 times more downloaded than any episode of this show ever.
Yes.
Andy, tell us about the show from this week.
So I think this is going to spawn a whole new podcast doing stuff at some point because it was that freaking popular. I spoke to the creator of Summertime Saga, goes by the name of Dark Cookie, and that is an adult-themed game with actually a pretty dark and serious story on the onset. I played some this past week. It's very intense. But yeah, the response has been outrageous. We got like a ton of new followers just on Podbean alone. And I think like for some of them, they could even load it because it was crashing for them on their end for some listeners.
Wow.
I think it broke Podbean. It was that sexy. It was too hot for Podbean.
Podbean was so, like, these guys don't get anything. We could put them on the low priority.
Too hot to handle. So that's like, out right
wait
now.
A minute.
Yeah. Great conversation. Great feedback from his fans and all that stuff. So that's up right now on Podbean, also on Spotify and, coming soon to YouTube once I can get some safe for work footage.
Yeah, we have no safe for work footage.
Plug from my hard drive.
So I mean, I could just put our logo up. But
no, I'm like playing and like stopping at the sexy points and like doing little cuts
as edits.
Yeah,
I'm that's just great. I mean, you need an hour.
Possible.
That's all you need is an hour.
Yeah, simple hour. It's all I gotta do.
And then I could splice in like
Yeah. Just
the words pixelated bukkake.
Do some transitions and stuff like that. You'll be fine. Yeah.
On there. Folks, if you want to support us on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice, Nestler, and FNH Paul. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support, so please head over to Patreon and consider backing us. You can back us for as little as $1 and get into our VIP Discord. Just every single dollar helps, so we do appreciate it greatly. And of course, you get a bonus episode every month as well. The November's bonus episode was great. I re-listened to it actually, accidentally. It definitely wasn't on purpose, but it was in my rotation and it auto-played, and so I listened to it and I thought it was great. But yeah, you could – the December episode should be recording very soon. It should be up before the holiday at the very latest, so we do look forward to that. We also have two retro game clubs that we need to catch up on. They are the hardest show for us to do for some reason, just because of having to play something – playing it enough and then also finding the time to schedule to sit down and talk about it. But we will be recording those, so please do not worry. But before we get into our news, our the indie news update or anything like that, let's get into everybody's favorite future t-shirt. The Adventures in Gaming! 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 Andy, what have you been playing?
Monster Sanctuary for the Nintendo Switch. I backed this game, you know, 1,000 years ago on Kickstarter, and then there it was in my inbox. Here's your key. Have a good time. It is described as a Metroidvania meets Pokemon. It is exactly what it says it is. No joke. You're a little monster hunter trainee guy, and you walk along side-scrolling style with sprites, and you encounter monsters. And instead of like fighting them with like hack and slash, you have a little thing and it goes like into like pick your monsters, and it's like a Pokemon fight, but on a 2D plane. And then you fight them. And if you beat them with a good ranking, it's not this you would hate, because when you beat it critiques your performance.
Yeah, I don't like
for each battle is critiqued with a star ranking and everything. I'm like, ugh. Steve would hate this shit.
Yeah, I don't like that. Unless I get good at it, then I'm all for it.
So, yeah, and if you perform well enough, you get an egg of a monster that you can hatch and recruit and then go on your team. But the cool thing is each one has a unique ability. Like the bird can make you fly higher. The wolf can slash through walls. It's pretty neat.
That's cool.
And And I think it's our next guest on the show.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes.
Oh, so yes. We are in talks with the guys from Splitgate, and we were trying to get them on for this week. I don't know if they've ever responded. I mean, we were going back and forth, so sure. I don't know if we nailed something.
I was just like,
that would be dope.
Come on, guys. I'm waiting.
That would be dope.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
I downloaded some of that Splitgate, by the way, Steve.
Yeah, I have it. And
played a little bit of it.
Cool.
Game's cool.
That is. It's a cool game. Cool. It came out a couple years ago, but... They're doing – no, not a couple of years. When was it? Oh, it came out last year. They've been doing a lot of work on that game. Apparently, they made the game a lot more accessible to new players. Like, it was a very hardcore team-based – like, people who played Halo competitively, it was made for them specifically. And for those of you who don't know, it's basically a Halo 4v4, but it has portals, like the portal gun. That's basically the whole premise of the game, but it does look like they have made it way more accessible now, which is pretty cool. So what else have you been playing?
That's really it. And Some More Time Saga for a little bit. Got it.
The Fappage.
Yeah, the Fappage. Fappening.
Jesus.
Taylor, what have you been playing?
For science, for research, for the show.
Right.
It's all for the show.
You did the interview. You can move on now.
I... Oh my god. I have been playing a new game that came out this last week. Immortals Phoenix Rising. Formerly known as Gods and Monsters before the Monster Energy lawsuit. That game is incredible. I really, really enjoy it. It is, for those of you that don't know, it is a third person like stamina based open world RPG, similar to like Zelda Breath of the Wild, Genshin Impact, all of those same comparisons you guys have heard over and over again. I will argue that the depth of this game goes much further than those games, though. The like physics puzzles and things like that are all still there, but the combat is a lot deeper. You have really cool abilities in combat that you can like learn and upgrade and things like that. Different combos and stuff that you can learn. And my God, if you guys like collectathons, this game is just littered with things for you to pick up and find and gather and use to upgrade shit. Like so many different systems and currencies and stuff like that, but not in like an overwhelming way. I think all of the systems work really well together. And I think the way that they handle like leveling up gear and stuff like that is really, really smart. And I'm having an absolute blast with it. I'm probably 15 hours into it or something like that now.
Yeah, I've been watching you play it, and it looks super interesting. So much so that I actually bought it yesterday or today, whenever that was. That was today, right, Andy?
Yeah.
Today,
yeah.
Correct.
So, and you, I'll let you take that part of the story, but the thing that I liked what I saw. So there's no mincing words here. I'm not a huge fan of Breath of the Wild. I think that if you took the word Zelda out of the title, it's not a 10 out of 10, no matter who made the game. But I think what Zelda did fantastic was it had a very, very strong base for a very cool video game. It was like a really sweet tech demo that they kind of built upon. But for me, it felt flat. It fell flat because of the way that they handled progression in the world, where they're like, hey, you're really, really hot here, so go find the hot clothing. But you didn't have to do anything to find the hot clothing that was interesting. You just had to sometimes just do a small.
Just go buy it.
Yeah, you go buy it. Yeah, exactly. So for me, it took the Zelda out of the Zelda game. In that aspect, especially with like the weapons, they also gave you all the tools in the beginning, so you didn't feel like you had any progression as far as the actual skill building. Obviously, the way they did the puzzles made you use those tools differently than you thought of, but those tools were always available to you, which kind of went anti Zelda also. But the beautiful thing was the physics of the world, the art direction of the world, and just the sheer massive literally go anywhere as long as you have enough food to eat and stamina and you don't burn alive or freeze to death, you can pretty much go anywhere. And it seems like this game takes that concept but makes it more it actually fleshes it out in a way that makes the game actually feel like a natural progression and gives you actual something to do in this world. Because like the Zelda world was just basically empty. It was completely empty, and it had little pockets, little villages that had like four or five people in them, and then little respawning tribes of monsters that would spawn in the same spot every time the cycle reset. It was always the same, and you would go there, beat them, whatever, move on, take their weapons, yada yada. So like with this, it seems like, and even Genshin Impact had a billion things to do, but at that point, I like the idea of a much more linear story that they're trying to like get you down with Immortals. Like it seems like a really cool contained story where your character building and you're building your arsenal and your abilities and all that stuff, and it's more RPG than it is just experimental open world adventure. At least in what I've seen of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And don't get confused here. A lot of the like survival game stuff that you have in Breath of the Wild, like the temperature, the, eating food and stuff, the like degradation of weapons, all of that is gone. It's like very parsed down, much more arcadey version of that same formula. But they handle a lot of stuff like that very well. Like the way they handle upgrading your weapons and things like that. You have a sword, an axe, and a bow. And regardless of which variation you have in that slot, like for example, I have 10 different swords I can choose from. Each one has a buff that it gives me. Like maybe one is like, a 12% chance to do triple damage. And then another one is like, you do double damage when your health is at 10% or lower, and like a bunch of different things like that. Mm. But you just upgrade your sword slot, and you can swap out any of those swords when you want to. You don't have to worry about your sword being underleveled because it upgrades all of your swords. And so I like that a lot. There's also full transmog. So anything you can find, you can swap up the look. So like I have an armor set that I like really a lot right now because of its stats, but I hate the way it looks. I can just swap that out for anything else that I found. So it allows you to kind of play how you want to and look how you want and things like that. And the writing in this game is hilarious. Pretty much the entire game is told as if Prometheus is telling this story to Zeus. They're just hilarious. They banter back and forth, and like Zeus thinks all of these amazing feats that you're doing are just super unimpressive, and like it's really funny the way that they like talk about your character as if they're telling the story as you're playing through it. Yeah, it's very smart writing. I can tell if if that kind of bugs you in the beginning, this is not going to be a game for you, because they lay it on like hard and heavy throughout the entire game. Everything you do basically is being narrated by these guys. But I personally find the writing very charming, very clever, very funny. And I love the way that they present the story. You go through all of the famous Greek myths, forging Zeus's lightning bolts with Hephaestus, and like the birth of Aphrodite and rolling the pearl into the ocean and stuff like that. Like all of these like well-known Greek myths, you kind of like reenact them as your character. It's just super cool. I love the way that they portray that stuff. So I'm having an absolute blast with this game. And it's a shame I'm never going to play it again after tomorrow.
Yes. because reasons. And for those reasons, I am also in the race to defeat Ghost of Tsushima, which I have been playing only, essentially. I've been trying to get through it. I've been doing a lot of the I'm just doing the story. I'm kind of like going through it. And if I come across something to do like on the way, I'll go do that. But I think I'm almost at the end of Act 2. I feel like I'm doing a lot of really big battles in Act 2. And like every time I'm like, oh, this would be a good place to end Act 2. And then it just continues. So I think from what I can tell, I am just about to start the third main story mission that opens up to you when you start Act 2. So I think that might be the end of Act 2. And then obviously you go into Act 3, and Act 3 is the final act. I'm trying to get through it before Cyberpunk comes, but I do have some concerns about Cyberpunk that we'll get into later in the show. But the other thing that we played, Taylor, we played Dungeons & Dragons with our Patreon producer, FNH Paul, a friendly neighborhood Paul. And he was like, yo, give me like 5 or 6 hours. We were like, no problem. We'll start at 3 p.m. on Saturday. We'll end. We'll eat dinner. And then Taylor and I will do a stream. And then we were like, you know what? Let's not do our stream. We'll do our normal stream, but we won't do our co-stream just in case this goes a little late. It went till 3 in the morning.
Oh, dear God.
It was a 12-hour Dungeons & Dragons session that I adored every minute of. It was an absolute blast to do and be a part of. It was a one shot. We all got to play characters. I basically made kind of like a Geralt style character. He was a demon hunter, and Taylor played like a bird man.
I made a bird boy
archer. It was a lot of fun. We had a blast playing. And I think that is going to be a video of some kind that Paul is putting together, called For Your Entertainment. So, at least that was the one shot. It was called For Your Entertainment. I don't know if he's turning that into something, like editing it down. I don't know. But if you go to twitch.tv/FNHPaul, you could watch the video on demand. It is a 12-hour session, so bring popcorn and a change of underwear, and maybe your toothbrush for the morning. But it was a blast, and I cannot wait to play more. Really quickly, we're going to get into a minute of Apex Legends, which Taylor and I and Mikey Kirsch, we've played a couple of nights this week. But I have a somber note regarding Apex Legends. Today, I have betrayed Michael Kirsch. I have betrayed him. I have betrayed his trust.
Oh, no.
Today,
what have you done?
Well, today we had been speaking and he said he had finals. And I said, well, if you need a break and you want to shoot dudes in the face, please let me know. I will jump on Apex with you. About an hour later, maybe less, he said, all right, I'm ready. And I said, well, unfortunately, I got to go pick up Jack. And then I got to go run a quick errand. But when I get back, I'll let you know. And that, if you listen to the pre-show, you know what I did at that time. I went and got Jack. I then had to go run an errand for my parents. I went to an architect's office. I stayed there for about an hour. I then went to my parents' house to explain to them what the architect was talking about. Then I came home. Then I fed the kids. Then yada, yada. And all of this happened without me telling Michael Kirsch what was going on. And I betrayed him. And I may never be a part of his inner circle ever again. So
that is a deep cut.
That is a minute of Apex. I took over the indie news update today because I saw two indie games come across my inbox.
Yeah, it's all you, baby.
That look dopity dope McDoperson dope. Like super dope face dopes. So I actually want to – super dope. So wait a minute. I want to see – so oh, it wasn't called Devil's Thing. So there was a game called Death Stick that I actually shared amongst us in Discord a while back that was a beautiful – pixel art game with this girl with like a red stick. Anyway, they changed the name of the game to Akatori, which is apparently Japanese for red bird, because the bird is what changes into your weapon. Anyway, they showed a little bit of a teaser for this game, and I will throw that in the chat in a second if you're watching live. But this game looks so cool, and I know it's just a small trailer. But this game looks like it's up everyone's ass, like up everyone's alley. Like Andy, this looks like it's right up your alley.
Yeah, I saw it. It has like world switching mechanics, like a light side and a dark side going on.
Yep. I mean,
beautiful pixel art. It's everything I want.
But it looks so fluid. All the motion and animation looks so beautiful. So keep your eyes open and your ear to the ground for Akatori. There's another game that actually came across my Facebook in an advertisement. I know, right, guys?
Look at that. You got duped by an ad, but it was a good ad.
But I saw the game and I was like, it can't really be this game. So I clicked it, and it's a game called Earth from Another Sun. It is in basically a pre-alpha build. It's barely an alpha at this point. But if you go to their website, you know, they're selling a founders pack for $30. You don't get access to the alpha or the beta, but you're basically pre-ordering the game. But then you get insider information about like their updates and stuff like that. If you spend $50, you get exclusive closed alpha and beta stuff. And then you could be like a huge investor for like $150, but whatever. So the game looks really cool. So here are just some features that they mentioned on their site. And again, I'm going to put the website in the chat if you guys want to check this one out yourself. You could click that one and just click through the website, but it looks really cool. So the features here are there's no pay to win. They listen to their players. They make decisions in the best interest of players.
That's a feature. No pay to win.
It's a feature, right? an ever expanding galaxy with unique locations, massive battlefields that support up to 400 players and AI controlled units. Kind of looks like Destiny in that way when I look at it. It's first person shooter combat. You could do co-op with 3 or 9 people, raiding locations scattered throughout the galaxy. There's unique weapons, weapon mods. There's mechs, tanks, hovercraft, vessels, and planes for you to maneuver and fight with. They push a live content update every single Friday for the alpha. The game just looks really cool. I'm trying to find where it's there's multiplayer co-op. They have their roadmap up there. So like if you're looking for something that might be new. So when you click their FAQ, what is Earth from Another Sun? Earth from Another Sun is a PC and console game about conquering the galaxy. The emphasis is on planetary surface battles played in first-person perspective. You're a commander of your own spacefaring faction, and during battles, you command your troops as well as engage enemies directly. So it looks like you're kind of directing some other troops while you're playing. It just looks really cool. It caught my eye. If you want to look it up, feel free. It's Earth from Another Sun, and you could go. You could join the alpha now on their website. I just thought that was interesting. All right, so let's get into the dual screens report as we are about 25 minutes into the show now. Let's start off with Taylor. Taylor, hit us up. What's our first news here?
Yeah. A little indie game is coming out tomorrow.
Small game.
You guys may have heard of it.
Yes.
Cyberpunk 2077.
Never heard of
it. Reviews started dropping on Monday for Cyberpunk. And to say they are mixed would be an understatement, I think. A lot of people have very similar opinions, but where they ultimately end up feeling about the game has been like drastically different. It's been pretty interesting to watch. I think pretty much consensus is across most of the major sites and people who got it early is that this game is fantastic, but holy shit, the bugs.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like there are some patches coming that may correct some of this stuff. We have no idea.
Only 50 gigs.
Only 50 gigs.
Oh, yeah. 50 gigs. It's minor.
It's personally totally understand this. Like, the amount of polish that happens in, like, the final year of production on a game and, like, bug fixes and things like that, it would make sense that this year for games coming out, that process may have been hindered a little bit for obvious reasons. So I totally get it. I'm super happy that they're putting this game out right now. I have it preloaded. I'm like going to play the second it's available. But I think one thing that stuck with me, this was from IGN's review. Tom Marks said he is envious of people who get to play this game in 6 months because he thinks a lot of these issues will be ironed out and there's an incredible framework here. And I know, Andy, you were kind of in that same boat, right?
Yeah, I'm more waiting for the true next-gen version of the game for the PS5. Like, I want to enjoy when it's like, okay, here's like the proper fully realized frame rate, resolution, all the bugs and kinks kind of sort of like smoothed over. So I think given what I would have heard from the reviews and what it sounds like, I want to play this in the best state possible. So I think for that, it's worth the wait.
Mm. Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence here. It's a game that is the game I want to play. It is for me. I love Fallout. I love Skyrim. I love The Witcher. I love those games. I love those massive worlds. But me as a gamer, who I am as a gamer now, is so codependent on my streaming now that it's kind of gone hand. Streaming has influenced my purchasing decisions recently for a couple of reasons. One, I want games to play off stream, but I also want games that are going to bring people in to the stream. And I'm not sure if this game is going to bring viewers in because people aren't going to want the game spoiled for them. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking that this might be a game that I just play on my own off stream, but then I wonder if it's going to be a game that I'm going to want to play more and more and then kind of kick the stream down the line. But whatever, that's not to say anything about the game. I want to know, I haven't read any reviews, so I'll leave it to you guys to answer this. I only read like bullet points of some things. Are any of these reviewers playing them on the newer consoles, like with any sort of not the new console version, but like the PS4 version on a PS5?
No one's playing on a console, yeah. Period.
They didn't
right,
send
that
out
is true. Right, that is true. See, that's what I want to see. I want to see what happens when people are playing this on a PlayStation 5 using the PS4 version, because that's what I would be doing, right? That's what I would be doing off the bat, or it would be the Series X, the 1X version on the Series X, which for games that don't have a next-gen version, there's been on the Xbox side, there's been better enhancements made to those games, those third-party games, than on the PS5 version. Well, there's been more. Let's put it that way. There's been more Series X enhanced versions of games than there have been PS5 enhanced versions of games. So I'm curious to know how that would do. If that might influence, like, for example, for Andy, would a checkerboard upscaling of this game that the PS5 does natively as part of its backwards compatibility features, would that influence you into your decision? Would that say, hey, it's not the best, it's not the PS5 version, but it is a beefed up PS4 version that's not going to have screen tearing or slowdown. It's going to be 4K 30 frames. It's going to play stable, you know, aside from normal bugs. Would that influence you at all?
No, I think I would still wait. I feel like after I was burnt badly by Marvel's Avengers, which I'm not going to kind of, that's like, that's a different level of dog shit. They're not, it's not a CD Projekt Red caliber developer. I understand that. But I think looking at this game, I feel like it was very much, it had to be a next-gen game. And all the work was meant to make it functional on our current hardware. So I want to wait until it's like, I want to get the proper, fully realized for my next-gen console. If it's 6 months down the line, if it's a year from now, I will gladly wait until that's out to play it.
Do you think any of these reviews have been influenced by the, you know, the name of the developer? Like, knowing that this is the people that made The Witcher 3, do you think that had any influence in these scores being higher in spite of the bugs? Because
yeah,
somebody made an argument. Somebody made an argument on Twitter that, like, they weren't the same reviewer per se, but they were very similar words saying beautiful world, really well, really a good script, well performed, great action set pieces, terrible bugs, needed polish, 7 out of 10, days gone. And then for this game, same, almost the same words verbatim, just kind of like, moved around a little bit. Terrible, great world, beautiful story structure, performed great, looks great. Terrible bugs, 9.5 out of 10. Like, I'm wondering if there's something there. I know the games can't be really compared as far as scale, but maybe they could, though, because some people are saying you can beat this game in 15 hours.
I mentioned this a while back during the whole CD Projekt, the pay scandal and employees being overtime and not told of the game delays. And there was all this attention surrounding those who made the game. It was like this artificial shield around critique. Like, this game, we can't poo-poo it that much because people worked so hard on it. And yeah, we'll let some things slide. But when I saw IGN's review, like, they were talking about the bugs that I felt like it should have knocked it down more. Like, I understand the promise of things will get better, but it's not better now. And
charging for it now.
We're reviewing what's in your hands at the very given moment. If it's not up to snuff, if the bugs are, you know, apocalyptic in some cases, and catastrophic, it's a detriment to the overall experience, and this should be addressed, and it should be docked points accordingly, not just, hey, it's a masterpiece, but it's bug ridden. Well, those two things don't sit well with one another. It's like an oxymoron.
Yeah, one doesn't.
Right.
Being bug ridden makes it not the masterpiece that you're saying.
Right.
Right.
To that exact point, Andy, in the IGN review, they like, I don't think it's in the written review, but in the video review I was watching today, Tom, who's doing the voiceover for his review, says, at the point where he's talking about it being better 6 months down the line, he basically just says, like, it's CDPR, like, you know what they did with The Witcher, they're good for it, basically.
Yeah, like, but that's exactly I don't like that argument.
I think it's weird, and that's why you're seeing such a dichotomy between reviews, where you're seeing a bunch of sevens and you're seeing a bunch of nines and tens.
It's as if all the bugs fall away and the reviewer thinks these aren't going to be here at some point. Sure. So those can be brushed under the carpet for the time being. That's not how you review something at all.
It also sounds like the review period on this was pretty rushed.
Yeah.
Like, I think they said 2 weeks.
And very strange limitations, like only use our footage, not your own footage. Yeah. And then the whole, like, only PC codes allowed. So I think, like, Skill Up on YouTube was like, we asked for a console code. We didn't get one. We're waiting for a review because we want to review it on a console.
Right.
To see what it's like on an actual, like, PS4 Pro or an Xbox One X.
Yeah.
So it's strange. It's very strange.
It is. And apparently it's there's also some uproar about the game in general. Isn't that right, Taylor?
Yeah. So the other article I linked here apparently, for people with epilepsy, this game could be, like, kind of dangerous. There is a scene in the game during a main story beat that you have to do to progress the story, where a character puts a headset on your character and you see a series of white and red flashing lights. Not dissimilar to what doctors actually use to trigger seizures in epileptic people. And there have been like very high rates of this particular scene causing seizures. Apparently CDPR says that they were not aware. It was like entirely coincidental, which is a little bit crazy to me. Like I have a hard time believing that, but you know, whatever. And they say they're working on getting that removed right away. They did just recently say the removal of those flashing lights will not be in the day one patch. So if you are sensitive to seizures at all, if you have epilepsy, I would say hard wait on this game until you know for sure that they can patch that out.
Crazy. Crazy times we live in. You have to be aware of a lot of shit now to make video games.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff.
It's a lot. Like a whole teams and departments. Like, can you assess this part of it and that part of it? Is it accessible enough? Or is it mindful of this group? It's a lot of stuff for a high profile game like this, especially.
Yeah,
it's like walking the minefield. I feel
absolutely. All right, Andy, why don't you take us into our next story?
I do want to say one thing more on CD Projekt. I'm glad I sold my stock because it took a hit these last couple of days.
Oh boy.
like a $4 hit. And I'm like, whew, that's no bueno. Speaking of things that aren't bueno, guys, I'm done. I think I am very nearly done talking about Silent Hill.
Okay.
It's going to be I think it's going to be an it for me. I think I'm going to watch the Game Awards this Thursday with bated breath, hoping for things to be announced. And when they won't happen, I will curse myself for thinking that they would happen. But this bit of news solidifies that the idea of a Silent Hill reboot from the original team is very likely not going to happen, because the Silent Hill creator, who was once a part of Japan Studio, has now left to make his own studio. That's right. Kichiro Toyama, along with other folks who created Last Guardian and Gravity, have left Japan Studio to make their own place called Bokeh Game Studio.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And as I watch on the forums, people still believe that we'll get a Silent Hill reboot. That, oh, the game, they left the game in good hands. Are we deranged people?
yes. Andy, I want to draw your attention to our YouTube channel. if you go down to a comment here.
Yes. Yes.
Let me see where it is. That says, where the hell is it? This is from our last crossplay episode, which was Returning to Silent Hill. Mm-hmm. This person commented, the person commenting is Returning to Silent Hill. I'm sorry. That is their name. Says they commented, I'm involved in the new Silent Hill. So,
sure. So it's Kojima. It's Kojima on our YouTube.
I don't know, man. I think it's possible.
But Toyama did say, first, I want to fulfill our fans' expectations. Great. You know what mine is? Make a fucking Silent Hill game. Make a horror game.
Quiet Mountain.
Just make the Mountain game.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry for that, guys. Andy.
Listen.
But we do have some sort of good gaming news here. We got a definite, almost, maybe, possibly, it might come out in the fall 2021 for Halo Infinite. So we had an update on the HaloWaypoint.com, the Inside Infinite for December 2020. Joseph Staten, is that what that says? Staten, I'm sorry, the font here is really small on my computer, so I'm going to make that bigger. Staten, if you're a long time part of the Halo community, you may know me. If you're new to the community, hello, great to meet you, blah, blah, blah. Let me see, okay. After Reach shipped, I became a Halo fan, cheering on 343 Industry from the sidelines. But it's my honor as creative director to help our team ship Halo Infinite in fall 2021. Yep, that's when the game is coming out. Oh, bold move, Cotton. Joseph Staten coming in. Yep, that's when the game's coming out. Oh, sir, you have made a grave error by saying that that was definitely when that's coming out. Anyway, from now until then, everyone at 343 and our great partner teams will be building, testing, and polishing the experience. They also threw a bunch of art and graphics updates. It no longer looks like a potato, which is nice to see, although we don't see Potato Face Boy. They don't show us that reskin.
Oh, he's going to get, like, revealed in some glorious fashion. I bet you.
He better.
It's a Microsoft way.
You know what they should do?
Series X fridge. There's going to be, like, a Craig thing.
No, what they should do.
Surrounding his grand re-reveal. It's going to happen.
They should partner with Digital Foundry and do a
video just on Craig.
Just on Craig and make it, like, a mockumentary style.
Sure.
Where they go in there and they have, like, the line that goes like that and, you know, onto the face. Right. You can see the old Craig and new Craig.
Right.
And talk about the teraflops and how the flops made his face all different.
And the power of the cloud made it so much better now. Yes, all that stuff.
This is great news because at least we know we have a general idea of what Xbox is going to look like for the next holiday season, right? Like that's essentially what this is really setting up. And this is going to be the last hurrah of the Xbox One era of games. So I'm interested to see what the rest of 2021 is going to look like for them as they're getting those end of Xbox One and those Series X enhanced versions of those games out into the wild for the swan song of the one cycle. So this is exciting news for gamers.
It's funny that this news came out. So I don't want to cut you off, Taylor, but I had read that the game was due for an April release of next year.
Interesting.
And I read that and I was like, I've asked around to some people on my end who said, nope, it's definitely not happening in April. It's more towards the end of 2021, specifically because Sony is planning to release a lot of stuff at the tail end of next year, sort of surrounding Halo's release. They sort of like drown out the noise of it. I think I told Steven this in the chat the other day between both of us. And I was like, that makes kind of sense. So the April thing didn't really. I was like, that's fake. And then this goes out there. I was like, yeah, I think it's going to confirm now in my sense that this is happening at least next year in the fall for sure.
Mm.
That's what it seems like. That's my own rumblings I've heard from some peeps.
But that's good. I mean, either way you look at it, it's good. Taylor, you had something to say?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Stop shitting on my dreams. This game looks amazing. I'm so excited.
No, it does. It looks really polished and beautiful. Again,
a year would do that
already. You know what I mean?
But like, I hope,
of course,
the screens that they
like,
put out.
Aren't you glad it came out in October?
I think it's going to look incredible. All of the stuff from this drop today looks very, very cool. I'm excited for the multiplayer. The multiplayer from Halo 5 was probably the best in the series. And I think that they're just going to improve on that. I really am not super excited about the story. I don't think 343 has put out a good Halo story yet. But honestly, I could care less. I really enjoy the multiplayer. Mm. So I'm excited to see what that team can do. And some of the screens and details they showed today looked very, very cool from that aspect. So I'm stoked.
Dope. Speaking of delays.
Yes. Speaking of, another huge delay rocked the game industry today.
Rocked to
the Prince of Persia remake was delayed ever so slightly. That was supposed to come out January 21st. And it got moved to March 21st of 2021. So only a 2-month delay, whatever, do your thing, Ubisoft, I'm fine with it. The Prince of Persia remake, I am personally very excited for because I loved playing the original game on Xbox as a kid. So seems cool. Just a couple more months to buff some things out, I guess.
Is that a sandstorm joke for...
It wasn't Pokemon? Intended to be, but if you want to take it.
It now is. He's that clever.
You have been buffeted. I never knew how to read that word. That's one of those words that I just don't understand. I can't read that word correctly, I don't think. Is it buffeted?
Buffeted.
It can't be buffeted. It's two T's. two T's.
Now, will this game look better
two Fs
because of the delay? Is that what's going to happen?
I have to imagine this is this is manufacturer delay and bug fixing.
Sure.
I can't imagine this is a like, oh shit, better, we better make it look better. And the, you know,
people yelled at us on Twitter. We got to fix this mess.
Oh no. Andy, I didn't see this news today. So why don't you take us into the next story here?
So the reason I want this on here is I'm actually, I have a pitch for the name for this game.
Interesting. All right? Okay. Okay.
I'm gonna kick it to you two for your ideas as well. But if you can top mine, I'll be surprised. So there is a apparent Spyro the Dragon 4 teaser in the Crash Bandicoot 4 It's About Time art book, which has the quote and a little hint at Spyro. Or Spyro the Dragon, I'm sorry. The Greek says Spyro, it's not really Spyro for us people, for us Greeks. So there's a little drawing of Spyro the Dragon in the art book. And that's cool. I would love a new Spyro game. Those games are amazing. But I want to pitch right now to the developer my tagline for this game.
Okay.
You guys ready for this? Now, if Crash Bandicoot 4 is called It's About Time, this should be called Spyro 4 Dragging It Out. Okay. Give me a better name than that. Okay. Give me a better name than that.
All right, ready?
Go ahead.
Spyro the Dragon 4, fucking finally. That's my
I mean, sure, if you want to go that route.
It's very funny. I like that, Andy. I don't hate the idea.
That's a good one, Andy. I don't have any quips for this one.
I know.
I don't have any.
That's the name. I mean, it aligns with It's About Time. It's about time.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Everyone says your performance about, you know, time and time. So I feel this is like the perfect subtitle. So do it, developer.
I don't hate it.
Just do it. Yeah.
I don't hate it. So we are making history here on crossplay / gamescast /
don't so much history. Anything.
This so is much. A huge, huge milestone, and I want the record to reflect this, and I want all my listeners, all of our listeners, I should say. Everybody that is paying attention to my words right now, I want you to write them down. I don't want you to mark the time right now. If you're driving your car listening to the show, pull over to the shoulder. I don't even care if you pull over in the middle lane. Don't do that. It's dangerous. But you know what? If you have to, you have to do what you got to do. Okay? If you have to dictate it, you could say, you know, hey, Siri, you know, and then wait. Okay, no, we don't have one. Okay. And you should be like, listen, I need you to mark this time and date down as one of the most important dates in video game podcasting history. Ladies and gentlemen, I, Steve Fontana of Dual Screens, have put 2 Xbox news stories in the dock this week as my only news contributions.
Oh my God.
To the dock.
It's that Series X in your house. It's like polluting your brain.
I feel like that's impossible because it still has not been played outside of Tetris.
What an amazing investment. So, an amazing investment, by the way. Bring it to my house next week. I want it. I want to play.
No, I'm actually diving in head first on Friday.
Fucking playing Tetris on it.
So when I go in and I download the games, I'm like, all right, I can't really start this game right now. I don't have the time, but I have a time for a quick game of Tetris. Like that's what's been happening.
Game Pass games you can play.
I know, but I don't want to start new ones right now. And Tetris isn't a game that you like start new. You just, you know, play a little Tetris and then shut it off. It's fine. But
you
here's the news.
Game Pass box to a Tetris box.
No. It's just for now. Gears 5 Hive Busters expansion is going to be arriving on December 15th with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. This is coming from Xbox.com. Excuse me. The Hive Busters expansion is going to be available on Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific time. It'll be on console, PC, and Android devices. So it's going to be on that xCloud, baby. The expansion is $20 if you're going to buy it separately for yourself. And it is included with the Game of the Year edition, which is beginning on the 15th as well. So I guess they have a Game of the Year edition already. And I guess if you buy it after the 15th, it's going to also include that. That's pretty cool. It adds 16 new achievements for a total of 210 available gamer score. It's got a 3-hour campaign set on the volcanic Galangi Islands. You use and upgrade ultimate abilities in the campaign story setting for the first time. So I guess their ultimate ability. I don't know much about Gears, admittedly. I'm actually playing the first one. I'm like a couple hours into the first one. I've been playing it like in between stuff. 3-player co-op, split screen, or online. So that's dope. We love that split screen. That's awesome. The expansion supports Gears 5, Xbox Series X and S optimizations, including reduced load times, quick resume, variable refresh rates, and 4K UDR Ultra visuals on Series X. So that's pretty cool. That's a sizable expansion. Yeah. That's really nice.
That is beefy.
That's one thing I will say about these Dude Bro games, and I'm using air quotes when I say Dude Bro games, but like your Gears, your Halo, your Call of Duty, like they completely bombard you. They always bombard you with DLCs. Like, it's almost like kind of like clockwork.
They don't want to lose their attention span.
They don't.
They gotta keep them hooked in at all times.
I mean, you know, Spider-Man had a bunch of great DLC. I'm not gonna knock that, but like, you look at like most of Sony's offerings, they don't really do the DLC thing. Like, you had the Horizon one, but you had like the one, right?
Right.
And they're massive, they're huge, and they add a ton to the game, but they don't keep that carrot, you know, they don't keep that dangled
in
front of you.
They don't put wrestlers in their games or do Terminator crossovers either.
No, they don't do that. but even the good stuff, they don't do too much of. I think Spider-Man might be the outlier in all of this. But they do like those massive ones, like First Light, for example.
Hunter DLC for Bloodborne.
Right, exactly. Like, they do those bigger things, but then they kind of just go away and they just say, okay, that's it, we did it, we're going to move on.
The time is done, and we can move on now.
I am a little jealous of that, I will say.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the one thing. If I love these games more, I'd be so happy, because they did get constant support from the developers. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, I'm not a dude bro gamer kind of guy.
You're not a dude bro.
I'm far shtick. From it. I love the bros, love the dudes.
You do.
I'm not a dude bro gamer.
Hamburger Helper. Hamburger Helper. Am I stroking out right here on the podcast? Hold on. Everything's spinning.
Before I projectile shit myself with laughter. Your eyes do not deceive you, Steven. No. Hamburger Helper is back.
That's right. Andy, take us into the...
Oh, my God.
Take us into the hype zone.
This comes from thestrokedoy.com. Could N64 Hero Glover be preparing for a comeback? It says, and I quote, "In one of the strangest teases of 2020, it seems that the low-key 90s platforming star Glover might be getting ready to make a slap-happy comeback in the bold new generation of gaming."
Oh, God.
Pico Interactive, who currently holds the rights to Glover, recently tweeted to fans, asking what stretch goals they would like to see should a hypothetical Glover Kickstarter campaign emerge.
Oh, Christ.
Hmm. That's a fun thought, Pico. How about this, Pico? Can I get my N64... cartridge for 40 winks that I backed you 2 years ago, or my plushie, or my codes? How about my real Kickstarter campaign that happened already? Focus on that. Get that done. And then Hamburger Helper yourself as much as you fucking want.
I tell you what, if this game comes out, that would be one hell of a hand job.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Steve's transition?
I gotta hand it to you, Steven. That was a good pun.
He just yells "Hamburger Helper" and then busts up laughing. Can we talk about that for a second?
Because I wanted to see if both of you were just following the doc and saw and like it was like slowly seeing two dots kind of come together in my brain, and like they just kind of like these two molecules like meshing together and then just like a little spark.
Your last
of light.
Two brain cells like sparking together to like.
All right, folks, before we get into the mailbag, let's get into our Facebook question of the week. And the topic this week was, do game delays upset you? Do they make you angry? Why or why not? So let's get into the comments here. Matt Murray says, they don't bother me. That's, of course, Missed Enough, who's making our Adventures in Gaming t-shirt free for 13 months now. They don't bother
me. For as long as Cyberpunk has been developing for, he's making this shirt.
Correct.
It's been that long.
They don't bother me when they're handled properly and when a studio is able to set realistic expectations for itself and relay those expectations to customers or consumers. I'd rather a game have a little more time in the oven than get something half-cooked, says the man who plays, what is it called?
Call of Duty?
No, No Man's Sky. When they're handled poorly, looking at you, CD Projekt Red, and messaging across the board is confusing, it is not only frustrating as a consumer, but also in a way degrades the final product. And I asked what in particular about the way CD Projekt Red handled it was poor, in his opinion. Because I felt like they were kind of transparent. Anytime it happened, they just came out and said why it happened and then kind of moved on. Yeah. But his response was it felt manic, like they didn't really know how long anything was going to take, with or without crunch. Like every delay was public, was publicity worded to make it seem like everything was all right. But there are several indicators now that it's been a huge rush to get it out now. Hell, even employees didn't know what was going on at one point. That's poor project management to a T. Kyle Stevenson says, selfishly, I'm bummed when a game I'm looking forward to is delayed, but never angry. Take your time, as long as it isn't harsh on the developers, on the people actually making the game. Timothy Pavlaka says, my level of frustration about a delay relates directly to how long before the game's release they announced the delay. If a game I'm looking forward to is delayed a week before release, somebody's going to get stabbed. But if we're 7 months out from release and they delay it, that's meh. What's a little longer? At the end of the day, no amount of belly aching will change the fact that a game is delayed, so it's whatever. But the longer before release date, the delay is announced, the fewer hard feelings. And then he puts a gif of Frank, Always Sunny. Somebody's going to get stabbed, which is great. Corey says, the only time it upsets me is when the game gets canceled or the name changed. Then my pre-order and money disappear. You got a point.
Wow. Those Canadian game shops just steal your money if pre-orders get canceled. Money,
apparently. All right, so going into our mailbag, we have Missed Enough asks, hey, what the fuck, dude? What, bro? You got a problem?
Yeah.
Of course, you could join our mailbag. You could either write to us at feedback@ndspodcast.com, or if you join our Patreon, you get invited to our VIP Discord, which you could go into the mailbag section, and that's really where we read a lot of our questions. The second question here is from Mikey Kirsch, who says, Steve, please answer this on the show. Why did you tell me you'd play Apex with me earlier, then postpone it because you had to take care of some family stuff, and then you tell me to reach out to play Apex, then never reached out? Who do you think you are, CD Projekt Red? I answered that question, and I am sincerely sad and apologetic. But he has another question that's a little bit more real. Predator Hunting Grounds is adding football player Marshawn Lynch to the game as a skin, which is completely ridiculous. Have you guys heard any news about the game, or if they've been able to fix the balancing issues and repetitiveness they had at launch?
I'm going to be honest, Steven.
Yes.
I have not thought about Predator Hunting Grounds since you and I played that game together like the day after it came out. I haven't even thought about it.
I played it a lot for like a month and then never again. And I still like that game. It just got really repetitive. That was the only thing. It got really repetitive and it was really hard to get a group together because playing with randos was impossible in that game. Sure. It was terrible. Unfortunately, no, I haven't heard much about it. I do know that that studio does a lot to keep up with their games. Like they try to do they try and do the right thing. And unfortunately, they were hamstrung with Friday the 13th. But you saw how they were supporting that game. And they basically changed that game from what it was when it released to when they couldn't work on it anymore. I haven't. I'm actually interested to kind of go back to it. And that maybe Taylor, maybe we should throw that on the old wheel spin.
See, here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
I have it on PS4.
Uh-huh. That doesn't seem like a thing.
Yeah, is there a problem there?
Problem? I don't have a capture card. We're doing this for a stream. What the fuck am I supposed to do? Just narrate what I'm doing?
Yes, you should. Just narrate. You should beam Steven's feed into
How much would it be to FedEx this capture card to you?
That's how you do it.
I wonder.
Jeez.
I'll FedEx you the capture. Okay.
It makes me wonder if they're putting a football player. Then I guess the answer is yes. All the issues are ironed out because
smooth as butter
to getting a football player in the game. So yes, it's all good now. It runs great.
Now, Buzz Killington here has a very big question that we do not have time to get into. What are your Game Awards new announcement predictions? So why don't we just do one new announcement prediction? I'll start because I'm gonna try and be a little vague, I guess. I think you're gonna see something from Sony and Kojima.
Oh, okay.
I think you're gonna see either a teaser of what they're working on. Mm-hmm. It might not be a Silent Hill thing, but I think you're gonna see a continuing symbiotic relationship between Kojima and mm-hmm. Sony, teased at the Game Awards in some way. That's like one mm-hmm. of my predictions
there. All right. I'm gonna guess we're gonna see it's a solid guess. The Initiative's new game will be unveiled at the Game Awards. That's Xbox Game Studios. Mm-hmm.
That's a solid bet.
Maybe it's a Perfect Dark. We don't know yet, but we'll see what it is, I think.
Taylor, what were you going to say?
I was literally just going to say exactly what Andy said.
Cool.
Great minds.
But since he stole mine, I think we are going to see an announcement for a new game from Japan Studios, Sony Japan Studios. It's going to be very weird. I probably will never buy it. That's my prediction.
You know, I want to call out Buzz in the chat for saying I'm lazy for pointing to a rumor, forgetting I have Microsoft contacts who may or may not tell me things on the down low. I just want to put that
on
out
the download.
There.
Yeah, on the download.
Download.
Also, Buzz Killington says you could remote play your PS4 to your PC and just window capture.
Yeah. Do you know how terrible the quality is going to be if I do that?
It's not terrible.
I don't have great internet, Steve. You realize I don't live in like a metropolitan city.
No.
Like, my internet struggles to keep up with just me streaming.
Yeah. It's fucking Utah, man. Got to get with the program. Fucking Utah. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying, Utah? Mm-hmm. Get your shit together, bro. Get your shit together. What else we got?
We got one last question.
Oh, yes. Well, Teezy, where did that come from? I didn't see that. Our day one patches.
You put it there.
I put it there.
Taylor put it there.
So, Teezy, here, yeah. I'll go over this.
Yeah,
Teezy was talking about this in our Discord. He didn't put it in the mailbag section like a tool, but that's fine. He said, are day one patches and bug updates the new norm? I think there's an easy answer for this. Yes.
They're the new norm. They are. They allow for game development to be shorter, but also longer. If that makes sense, like it lets them keep with the traditional dev cycle, but also expand that dev cycle to work on all the shit that would happen in that final year. Everything's the true dev cycle to make a game beginning to end is much longer than it's ever been, but they're trying to keep the window as short as possible so that they could continue, so that they could, you know, make games at the pace that us consumers are used to. Otherwise you get a Rockstar situation with everyone. Nobody mm-hmm. wants a Rockstar situation with everyone. There's only one developer, one, and I'm being just actually maybe two, but one for sure that somehow is not affected by dev cycle increased nothing. They come out with a game and it's like, yep, that worked perfectly. Thank you. Move on to the next one. See you in 3 years. And that's Naughty Dog. I don't know how they do it. They do these massive, beautiful cinematic games. I guess they're a little smaller in scope as far as like open world stuff. But good Lord, like they come out with like, okay, no, the game is great. It came out and it's great. Oh, there's one bug. Sorry about it. We'll fix that. Mm-hmm. But like, nope, it's done. There it is. It's out.
I don't see who in their right mind would bitch about a day one patch. It's literally on the first day you get the game. Like that patch, if it's a massive file, that made you play the game on that day. Because if you don't get that, it's going to be weeks, months out maybe. Because you got to push that back. It goes gold later. Right. So, yeah, I'm for a day one patch. And fixing out bugs, I mean, yeah. It's, again, like you were saying, it makes the game... You can't bitch about delays and patches. That doesn't make sense. Either the game doesn't get delayed, and there are some bugs, and we'll fix them a little bit later. Now, they shouldn't be overwhelming amount of bugs. They shouldn't break the game. Like, the game barely works. We'll fix it somewhere down the line. But you can't also say you can't bitch about delays. So pick one or the other. That's what I say. So, yes, this is very much a new norm. And if it's handled properly, like if the game is all right, if there's no game-breaking bugs, yeah, fix it. Improve it. Do better. Could you imagine PS1 games or PS2 with like bug patches? Bubsy 3D could have been an amazing game if it was patched properly. No, that's all I'm going to say.
I just want to say the alternative is mailing in your cartridge to Nintendo for a new one.
For them to actually hack your cartridge and fix the game.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, I don't have an issue.
Send this back, rewrite the code, and send me a fresh copy when you're ready.
Before we go, I want to introduce a new thing that I want to end the show with every week. And this is called the Hype a Hype Fam member. We call our friends and family over here the Hype Fam. We want you to write into us a member of our community that you want to highlight and bring and put up in front of everybody to say, hey, this guy's doing awesome stuff, whether it's content creation or just being an overall good person, he or she being just a good person. And you just want to say, hey, give him a shout out. You know, say what's up. You know what I mean? And so I'm gonna kick us off on this train of hyping a Hype Fam member. And I want to hype up somebody a little outside the box here. I want to hype up our friend in the chat every once in a while, Andrew, Adre21, who has begun streaming, I think, less than a month at this point. Hit his affiliate status. He does his thing. He's super positive. He's an overall good dude. I play a lot of Apex with him. He's a good human being. He's been very supportive of this show, very supportive of me, very supportive of Taylor, you know, in our streaming ventures and stuff like that, and a good person. So if you want to be a part of his little community that he's been building, go to twitch.tv/A_Dre21 and give him a follow over there. And help him, you know, expand his viewership and stuff like that. He's got a clean stream. Like, for somebody who's not done this before, like, his camera's beautiful. His microphone sounds like I podcast like 4 days a week. I stream 5 days a week. My audio sounds like garbage. His audio, for somebody who does like none of that, is impeccable. Impeccable. And I want to say congratulations because he passed the fucking bar exam.
Oh, congrats, dude. That is impressive.
Passed the goddamn bar exam. So he's officially my lawyer. I don't know if you know that. And I'm his lawyer because that's how it works. You got to trade. It's trading. Yeah. Trading.
Is it bird law he specializes in, or maritime law? What's his field?
You say maritime law, but that is where the law firm my mother works for is a maritime.
There you go. Yeah. That's why I said it.
Boat leasing or something. I don't know what the hell it is, but whatever. Mm-hmm. She works for that firm. She's not a lawyer though. So she can't be my lawyer. Mm-hmm. So please, if you want to highlight a member of the community, here's what you have to do. Go open up your email sheet. Get out your email, pen, and paper, and put in the address feedback@ndspodcast.com. And in this subject line, put Hype Fam Hype. Hype Fam Hype. That way I know what it is. We'll open it and we'll pick one and we'll read it on the show. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at @duel_screens. I am at @batshot27. Andy is at @pantsguy. And Taylor is at @itsperger. Our Facebook group is facebook.com/group/. That was it sitting there for a while. DS Podcast. Mm-hmm. Facebook.com/groups/DS Podcast. If you want to follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. And our YouTube channel is youtube.com/dualscreenstv. We are working on a really cool project for a video coming up very soon. You know what? Fuck it. I'll just tell you what it is. We are going to be ranking each month of the year per year for PlayStation Plus releases. So we're going to be ranking the 11 years of Decembers for PlayStation Plus from worst to best. mm-hmm. it's going to be a blast. We're going to have and we're going to do it for January, February, as those months games are announced. We're going to throw those games in the list, and then we're going to rank all the months or the years for that month. It's going to be a blast. I can't wait. We've been yelling at each other about it all day today. Our ranking. Like, what do you not fucking understand? It's a fucking list. What are you not getting? Get it around your fucking head. Yeah, it's a sequential list. It is worst to best.
I am so sick of the word Delta. I don't want to hear it again.
Oh, listen, man.
We got 11 more months of this shit.
Science.
Well, anyway, thank you to all our contributors, Matt Murray for our logo and overlay and our future t-shirt. Thank you to Bradley Parsons at Train Sound Studio for our theme song. And thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our cartoon art that we use across all of our podcasts. Andy, you got to get him to draw a Taylor.
It's in the works.
Okay. Thank you.
It's in the works.
Again, if you want to support us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/NDS podcast. Buy our merchandise, dualscreens.com/store. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yeah, how about next week's Facebook question?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we could. So next book's Facebook question, Andy, since it's yours, why don't you ask it?
Yes. And the question is, which will now go in the Facebook group, mm-hmm. which video game would you want to be sucked into Jumanji style?
Mm. Scary.
And that's the question.
That's very scary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that at all.
I know. Just mull over that for a week.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it. I mean, honestly, that's kind of scary. That's a scary thing.
It's a little bit, yeah. These will be funny answers, I feel.
You could get in a lot of trouble with this one.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. All right. It's like a Barbie's horses. It's going to be like, I'm going to shut the group down.
I mean, any way you look at that question, you're screwed. Video games are so horrible.
100%.
Anyway, thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to the Academy. Thank you to the Game Awards. Go watch the Game Awards. It's going to be exciting.
Hamburger Helper.
Hamburger Helper. And as always, please be excellent to each other.